Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
It's good to talk to you. It's not a Friday, but that's okay. We can do the podcast other days. It's fine.
There's no rules. There's no law against it.
No. No. Who would make such a stupid law?
Yeah, I don't know. Most laws are really well thought out and very, very rational.
Well, you're my second podcast of the day, so hello.
Hi. Yeah, you're my first podcast of the day, but I've lost track of how many podcasts I have done or posted this week. It's a lot.
It's a lot. It is a lot. It's a lot.
Yesterday, I could not promo the two shows that launched at the same time because I was recording a third podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Inside Baseball. But yeah, I've got to change the post date. I had you post something on a Wednesday or on a Wednesday that should have gone on a Tuesday, probably, but it's fine. It's all fine.
Yeah, these things happen.
It's all fine. They who cares? They all go at once.
More shows. Everyone will listen.
Well, at their own time. When a podcast is released, kind of doesn't matter. But
I agree. Unless you're like our the Rebound records on a Tuesday and gets released on a Thursday, which is often hilarious because often things that we talk about have changed by the time that the show posts.
That's no good. That's no good.
Yeah, I mean, it's become a running joke. But
do the readers like it?
Oh, the readers love it.
Okay.
It works best in text.
Speaking of running jokes. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that may change. We may have to be changing when we record our podcast. So, such are the vagaries of having to juggle schedules for people.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, you might sometimes during the day, which for some of us is a very convenient time to record podcasts because that is our job. Sometimes that doesn't work for people who like to record podcasts who have other things they need to be doing during the day.
So what I'm saying is, why don't you just replace Lex with James and be done with it?
I know James is listening and he's going to be like, yes, of course.
Because Lex sells the ads and they pay the bills.
Yeah, Lex sells the ads and he likes, you know, I like to chat with Lex. I don't get to talk to Lex that much.
Oh, all right, fine. Lex is fine.
He's all
right. It's fine.
He's all right.
I was going down the hole. We only like Lex because he brings in money, but it's not true. We also like Lex for other reasons.
I only get to talk to him on the other two shows that he does with me.
Yeah. Yeah, I was doing some instant messaging with Lex the other day and it was delightful because I don't, I don't talk to that guy often enough, so.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, he sang me a song. I can report exclusively here that Lex sent a video of himself performing a song to in an iMessage thread with me and John Syracuse.
That sounds epic.
Yep, it was great. It was
he's a man of many skills.
He is a multi-talented person. I guess we can
say that about him because he'll never hear this.
I guess technically that iMessage thread was basically the Robot or Not theme song brain trust, I suppose, if you want to think of it that way. I didn't think of it that way.
And I do.
Nor did Lex perform the Robot or Not theme song. He just performed a different song.
See, now you've got everybody wondering.
Yeah, that's just, we were talking about Jonathan Colton and his new soft rock album that he's doing, and he has that song Soft Rock by Me, and we were talking about that, and because Lex anyway he ended up performing that on his piano so John and I were soft rocked by Lex. Basically,
he's got time for that, but he doesn't have time to show up to my shows. What's happening now?
He's just a performer. He's a natural performer. This is, if you're just joining us, it's the Lex Friedman.
This is your daily Lex.
Hour. Weekly. Dan and Jason. Something like that. Lex did a daily podcast for a while with a super catchy theme song, and then he stopped.
Yep.
And then a year passed, and he did one episode and said, I'm back, and then that was the end.
We've all had those projects, though, right? Like those projects where it's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna bring, oh, I still, the other day I was getting a little I don't think it was grief, but there was a little maybe passive aggressive grief from a couple people who I did a podcast with last year, and then I never got around to editing or releasing that podcast. And I was reminded of that fact by some of the people who were on that show, and I thought, ooh, yeah, I should do that. You know what, I'll sit down and edit that sucker. And then that didn't happen yet. So spoiler, there's a podcast which I planned to do as a full show, I think last year, and I ran into way too many other things to do, and it fell to the bottom of my to-do list.
Oh, well.
So maybe this year.
What you gonna do? It's just
a lot more work on other stuff, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, what's going on? What's going on?
Well, Apple. it's the Apple has entered the phase of its life where it just decides to resurrect a whole bunch of products.
Oh, that, yeah. I didn't think
that,
you were going there.
We thought
but,
we're dead.
But yeah, I'm looking at my iPod Hi-Fi wondering if it's going to start moving. Like if it's going to get up and do new things and start to run.
Yeah, do you have any iPod socks that you were hoping might
I don't know. I put them on my feet and stretched them out, so alas, they're not.
Those are just socks now.
Stephen Hackett has iPod socks. He has a lot of them. So let's see. What has been rumored to have been resurrected?
Rumored of the iPad Mini, which I think a lot of people thought was gone. And in a weird move, it's a weird move, especially because the two products that have been rumored are actually interestingly positioned vis-a-vis one another, which is the iPod Touch and the iPad Mini, which both seem to fill a similar space. I mean, they are different products, but they are products that are increasingly close to one another, one would argue.
Right.
Which is to say iOS devices that don't require a data plan that are smaller than a
bread box.
iPad. Yeah, smaller than a bread box and larger than a phone. Well, an iPod Touch presumably is the same size as a phone, but...
Yeah, well, and also I would say what they have in common oftentimes is that they're deployed for kids.
Agreed.
I was thinking about this, the iPad Mini. So my son just started using, who's 14, he just started using a 6th-gen iPad. But before that, his entire life was, once the iPad came out anyway. And I've told this story before, but he caught me watching the Steve Jobs keynote when I was playing it back, the iPad launch. Because you know you're there and you're covering it and you miss stuff, and so I was watching it like a week later and I didn't realize that my 2010, so my 6-year-old son was standing behind me watching it, and so I inadvertently exposed my son to the reality distortion field, and he spent the next four months saying I want it, we got to get that iPad, it does this, and he was like all the marketing points he's reciting back to me, and I'm like, yes son, I know all the marketing points of the iPad. Anyway, so he is a child of the iPad. I think it's his favorite device to this day, and but he used the iPad Mini for ages, and you know, it wasn't just price, it's size. Like for a kid, they got great eyes; they can see those little pixels. It's fine, and it's small, and it fits in their hands. Well, and there's like a lot to it. My theory, Dan, with the iPad Mini and the iPod Touch, my theory is it's actually a little bit like what I was talking about for the MacBook Air, which is at some point the existing parts are no longer available, or there's another compatibility issue. It's like these processors are so old that they want to not support them anymore in the operating system, and they can't because they still sell them. And well, so it's like
run on an A8, I think too.
If we can't kill them because they still sell us some, we need to do a minimum amount to just make them run the new stuff, and then we can ignore them for another 5 years.
Well, it's interesting, you know, you mentioned the iPad Mini, but I think of the iPod Touch because one of my cousins is a elementary school librarian, and she deployed iPod Touches in her classes for the kids to use in like creative projects, like filming things or for photography or recording stuff. You know, like those were kind of the devices because they were relatively affordable, they were small, and they don't require a data plan. And that's a pretty good use case for them. I mean, I imagine it's not the only use case for them, but it certainly, for her, that was kind of the ideal sweet spot in a way that I think even the iPad Mini would have been too large. And especially the iPad Mini, you know, was, at least as it's positioned right now, has always been a strange product in the modern lineup of Apple's iPads because it's more expensive and arguably less capable than the more recent iPads that Apple has released. So, you know, it makes sense in theory for them to release a new version that's got probably a slightly updated setup. But there's also a question of, you know, when Apple's selling iPads for, what, $330? you know, do you, is the iPad mini a product where the size is a such an advantage that you get to charge more for it because it's more compact? Or is it a lower cost product that slots in underneath the $330 iPad? I don't know. It's an interesting question.
I don't know, but it is, it does sound like, at least there are rumors, although the rumors, so the guy with good supply chain information says that a new iPad mini is happening. The other story was that, like, sources say that Apple is considering a new iPod Touch. It's the most weekly sourced
sure.
thing I have ever heard, because it's like a person at Apple was thought to be ruminating about what would happen if they updated the iPod Touch. It was that far down almost. So I'm not saying that it's going to get released next week, but I can see, you know, again, we don't know a lot of the details here. Every product has a cost in terms of every new product design, but there are these existing issues with support and things like that, because these things have the older processors in them, and it becomes it becomes a point where you need to either kill the product or do an update. And I feel like Apple has a certain class of products, and the Mac Mini and maybe the MacBook Air for a while were in that same position, which is, this is a product that's not a priority, but every so often you have to update it if you're going to keep producing it. It's also the reason they had to have that announcement about the Mac Pro. Because it had right. reached that point where it was like, we, you know, why are we not killing this product? Well, because we're going to come out with a new one in 2019. Okay. But that seems to be just some of these tech products that happens. And with the MacBook Air, I felt for a while now, like that $999 that they're still selling, at some point, I'm not sure Intel's going to make that processor anymore, and they're just going to have to deal with it. And that may have actually been why they did the little speed bump that they did, was like, okay, right. they're not making that speed anymore. Let's, I don't know, but like the parts, like, are old parts. So,
well, what's interesting yeah. about that, though, is that the parts that are actually, so the processor in both the iPad Mini 4, which is the most recent iPad Mini, and the iPod Touch, that's an A8 in both of those, which I think is the first 64-bit A-level chip, but I believe is also the A8 is what powers the Apple TV, uh-huh. and I believe the HomePod. So, in fact, the A8 is kind of the thing that they probably yeah. make a lot of, because they're embedded
they're
in a lot of the Apple tech.
They're tossing this their cheapest 64-bit processor
exactly.
and all of this. Yeah,
exactly.
I would think that for the iPod Touch and the iPad Mini, it's more a story about iOS support, that they would like
sure.
they would like to, at some point here, close the door on the A8, which means closing the door on the iPad Mini, the iPod Touch, and also the iPhone 6.
Right.
At, you know, at some point saying, we're not going to support this on iOS 13 or 14. Maybe not, but I just, it is one of those things where I could see them saying, all right, it's been since 2015. You know, maybe right. after 4 years, we need to just give it a very slight kick and then let
right.
it sit it's there the, for another 4 years.
It's the Mac Mini move. Yeah, like you're saying.
Or kill it, right?
Years.
That's
yeah,
the thing.
Sure,
it's like
that's
the iPod,
an option.
I was talking to somebody about this. The So I have an iPod in my car, in the minivan. There's an iPod loaded with stuff. Because it used to be that was how we could listen to our music in the car. But now with Apple Music, like it's frozen essentially around the time that Apple Music came out. And I thought, well, what I really should do is replace it. But the thing I would replace it with is basically like an iPod Touch. I would replace
right.
it with a Wi-Fi device that can live in the glove box attached via USB. That is auto syncing playlists and stuff with Apple Music. So it doesn't have to have a cellular connection. It's not going to stream on demand. But like if I put a bunch of playlists on it and I download a bunch of stuff to it from Apple Music, then it will just kind of ride in the car, but give me access to that. But you need an iOS device for that, not an iPod. And I keep thinking like, well, that's why you either repurpose a very old iPhone that you've got laying
right.
around, or you need something like an iPod Touch, and it just doesn't, you know, or you link your phone and you just do it that way, which is, I think, probably a more realistic thing today. But it was one of those thoughts where I was like, oh yeah, I don't have, like, that's why you bought an iPod Touch. Or again, you want to give your kid something and you don't want to buy them an iPad, and this is a little convenient thing.
Well, I wonder about the overall picture too, in terms of, you know, especially since we've been talking in the past couple weeks about things like iPhone sales leveling off. Is some of this a, I don't want to say like a shotgun approach, but like there's certainly an argument for, well, if we are fulfilling sort of the iPhone market that we're setting, you know, where we can get to right now, maybe there are market, you know, segments of the market that are not being addressed because of, you know, exactly the example you're giving for, you know, to say, which is there are little pockets of things, the corners that are not getting addressed necessarily by the products we have on offer because there aren't new versions of some of these products and people are holding off on buying those things or what have you. I don't know, like maybe it's just about a product lineup that addresses all niches in the market, like from education to kids to people using iOS devices for these like kind of one-off tasks. I don't know, but maybe they feel like there's an opportunity there for them to do this by providing a modest update to some of these things.
Right. It's the Mac Mini argument again, which is like, right, these are not great sellers, but they're an escape valve. They offer, they spread the line out. They are at the edges of the line. They're never going to be the big sellers, but it's good to keep them around. And that's the only question I think all of us have when we look at products like this is Apple is the only one that knows how these sell and whether it's worth their time to sell them. But, you know, you're right. In an era where iPhone sales have leveled off, having other iOS devices that can be used for various other purposes, like, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody in the medical industry comes and says, you know what, we want to equip all of our doctors with an iOS device to integrate with our health system, but we don't want it to be an iPhone because it costs too much.
Yeah.
And they're like, it doesn't need to be their phone. All it needs to be is on our Wi-Fi. And like, we got something for you, right? Like, let's sell that hospital chain thousands of iPod touches. If those things exist and only Apple knows for sure, then it's worth having that product.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. They sort of cover all their bases. Like, I think, at the worst end of the scenario, you start thinking about kind of the proliferation of Mac products back in the 90s when it seemed like there were so many different products and at times the differentiation between them was so small. Like you had products that were essentially almost identical across some of the Mac lines with slight tweaks here and there. And it was really kind of befuddling to figure out, like, how is this Performa different from this Centris, right? Like, you know, nobody, that was kind of the worst case scenario. I don't think we're there, but I think, you know, on the mid end of that spectrum is sort of the idea, like they're having a device available for all these different purposes, helps sort of bolster everything, provides way more pillars to support your platform. So yeah, I'm interested that it's considering doing those things. I think the similar fate could befall, say, the iPhone SE, which they may just leave sitting there for a few years before they decide to upgrade it. And just, you know, there is another opportunity, for example, for a low-cost device or a device with a smaller screen or a device with a thicker form factor that's going to peel off some ends of the market but is never going to be the top seller. They just don't want to devote the energy to making it a regular part of the lineup that they're going to have to update every year because the market isn't big enough for that.
Again, only Apple knows for sure.
And they ain't telling us.
No. They're telling us less than ever.
So much more speculation.
What else? Is there another old dead product that's rumored to be getting an update? I don't know.
I mean, depends. There's the DOA AirPower, which is...
Oh, AirPower. That's
alive.
The other one.
It's alive!
It's rumored to be... It's imminent. Why has nobody set up... Is
AirPower shipping yet? .com?
.com, yeah, no.
Jump on that.
Nope. It's an opportunity for $6 subscribers.
An interesting 1-2 punch there with the release of the battery cases this week.
Right, because those are Qi chargeable.
Right, well, that's part of it, right? And like a whole bunch of people pointed to the like, oh, they had to replace all these batteries last year, so clearly they're getting into the game by releasing battery cases. And I think everyone was like, no, I don't think I don't think that was the cause and effect that was happening there. I think Apple had planned to release battery cases for the phones, but I think they wanted to integrate the Qi charging, and with the AirPower not shipping, I think the engineering in those things was not inconsiderable, because clearly the Qi charging stuff they're doing with the Air Power has been more challenging than they expected. And integrating that into a battery case and having it charge, you know, like, that is probably a difficult problem. So it's not necessarily that they just decide to do this in reaction to this other thing. That's almost never true, right? Especially for hardware products. They're not coming out with these like, oh, we had this problem 6 months ago, so we built a thing, right? Like, Apple does not move that fast for hardware design. So I think that they had probably a broader wireless charging story to tell that was held up by all of the engineering challenges that they ran into. Because in a perfect world, I think they would have shipped Air Power probably in September if it had been ready.
Sure, of course.
But you know, and they could have told the story about like, all right, we've got our wireless charging devices, our wireless charging products, everything goes together well. We've got these battery cases that charge. You'll be able to charge your AirPods, right? Like, there is a concerted effort there. The problem has been, I feel like it seems the engineering challenges innate in all of those things have been problematic to the point where they kind of had to, like, these things came out in sort of dribs and drabs here and there.
I don't know. Correspondent Alex Cox reports that that she got the first charging case in Chicago. The manual does not mention Air Power, only Qi, which is, I think they learned their lesson. Don't mention Air Power.
Well, apparently it showed up in I don't think it was the manual, but I think it was the page in Malaysia. There was a thing where it mentioned Air Power in one of them, and it slipped out somewhere.
Don't even mention Air Power. It'll come where. What's next? The Airport Express?
That was my, on Clockwise this week, we did a topic about what Apple product would you like revived, and for me it was the Airport, because I miss, I loved the Airport. I thought it was a great product, both the Airport Express and the Airport Extreme, which is what I still have running the network in my house. But I loved the Express for being able to take it to, like, invariably, I had several subfamilies in my family. So my aunt, my uncle, my parents, my cousins that, like, hated their Wi-Fi setup. It would always be these terrible, like, Byzantine, you know, routers provided by the cable company. And I would just slap an Airport Express in between the cable modem and their experience. And it got so much better. It was just such an easy fix. And now I don't know what to do about that anymore. If they want to bring that back, I'm all for it.
I'm going to pick the E-Mate.
Ah, nice.
Because it was...
Little keyboard.
It was after...
I wanted one of those so badly.
After many keyboardless mobile operating system devices for its alternate platform, Apple decided to release one that was a laptop.
I remember coveting that hugely at the time when it came out. Because the Newton seemed cool, but it was like... The idea of having, like, a little laptop thingy that, you know, you could type on, a little lightweight laptop. Yeah. That was so cool. That was so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was before its time, I guess.
Indeed. Indeed.
I don't know.
What else?
Tim Cook's writing things for New Time magazine columnist, Tim Cook.
He's got some time on his hands.
He's got thoughts on privacy.
As it were.
I don't have a lot to say about the Apple privacy stuff other than to say that, I think it's an interesting balance of Apple pressing an advantage that they've got. It is. I don't doubt that they think it's the right thing, but it's also their business model advantage. And so they're pushing it, and they feel like there's a moment here where everybody's upset about Facebook and things like that. And if they can kind of, like, rile people up and say, yeah, there's data brokers and they're bad, which they are, they're not lying. But also it's like, this hurts everybody else's business more than it hurts theirs.
Yep,
so why not be an advocate for it? And why not make people, you know, does it incrementally make people look at Apple and go like, oh yeah, Apple, they actually care about this stuff. Why, you know, that, I'm going to put that in their side of the ledger when I am thinking about products to buy.
It's the rare incidents where their business goals happen to happily align with something that I think is morally right, right? Like,
yeah,
that doesn't happen all the time, but when you've got those, like, two things working in sync, yeah, you better press that advantage, because it is a really good opportunity to sort of notch your name up there a bit. So yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. I think that they do believe that it's the right thing to do, but it just so happens that it works well for them as well. So And especially today, there was also this, I just wrote this quick link for the Six Colors about this data breach collection number one. So like 770 million records, you know, password and username combos, which is a lot. I think it's the biggest breach, they said, aside from the Yahoo's 2 billion account breaches. So, yeah, that's, I don't know. That's this whole system needs to be rethought. Every, you know, passwords, usernames, social security numbers, like, what a mess. What a relic of the 20th century in some ways.
Yeah, we gotta get better. Right.
Yeah, I wrote about that this morning with the Time magazine piece where I thought that, you know, and our friend Brianna Wu, who of course is run for Congress and is running for Congress again in 2020, has pushed this a lot of times, which I think is, you know, an interesting issue of this, like, you know, Social Security numbers are so inherently insecure. I mean, it's literally just a 9-digit number that the only security for is don't tell anybody what it is, except you have to give it to all these people when you need to do legitimate things. And you can't change it. So if it gets stolen, you're just screwed, basically. And it's just, it's such a terrible system for the modern day and age.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very bad. It's a problem, right? I mean, I was thinking the other day about how one of the biggest challenges to security is the fact that you can't run the world on irrevocable passwords. So much of the problem is in recovery, right? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this because Lauren was, what was she doing? It was something stupid. She's filling out the FAFSA form for a financial aid qualification mm-hmm. for college, since Jamie is going to college in the fall. And they like, you need to create an account and you need to create 4 security questions, 2 of which are free form and 2 of which are from their choice. And she's like, this is so stupid. And I'm like, well, yeah. And it's only used for password reset.
Right.
Because they need to do it. It is, because otherwise you do all of this and then you forget your password and it's irrevocable, right? And if you can do it on the phone, then it can be socially engineered. There's so many different problems yep. with it that adds this whole other layer of problem just because people forget passwords, which takes us back to passwords, shake fist. But I did tell her that she just needed to, for her 2 free form security questions, they needed to be, what is the first security answer in 1 password? And what is the second security answer in 1 password? And then auto-generate garbage text from 1 yeah. password and paste them in and do it yeah. that way. And that's the frustration is when they're like, what's the name of your first dog? My first dog was named 7, capital B, lowercase j, exclamation point, ampersand, P, question mark.
Boy, calling that dog to come in was a real...
I know, right? Well, that's why you use 1 password to call your dog.
Yeah, it's
a simple password that you know that then calls your dog by name.
Yeah, someday somebody's going to invent a better solution for this, and that day cannot come soon enough, yeah. is what I'm saying.
Seriously. All right, well, so you and I are not going to be here tomorrow, so we're here today. But
that's right.
But we'll be back next week, undoubtedly, for more
indeed.
Six Colors nonsense talk. And maybe I'll do some laundry. I didn't do any laundry today, so sorry.
I've got the space heater running, so
oh, good.
There you go.
Oh, people are going to love it.
Treat for you, folks.
People are going to love it.
It's chilly here today, so I put the heater on in the office for the first time this year.
Well.
And, yeah. I'm both toasty warm and enjoying the white noise.
Yeah, lovely, lovely. Well, thanks to everybody out there for listening and supporting Six Colors. We appreciate it. And we'll be back probably next week because, we're generally on time now that we've caved to the schedule.
The demands of the schedule gods.
Yeah, exactly. But until then, goodbye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.